featuring the Young Artist Competition winner Aurelio Meyer, as well as a side-by-side performance with area high school musicians. Tickets at LakeGenevaOrchestra.org.
This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host. This is WGTD-HD.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring. And, you know, I'm out in the community for a variety of reasons. And every so often I run into organizations that capture my interest. And today we'll be talking with two different organizations to find out what they do for people in need in the community. Our first guest today is Christine Luxem, who is the president and founder of Ground Zero Veterans Outreach, Inc., and it is located in Union Grove, and they have just a vast number of programs that they're initiating in the area as a relatively new formal nonprofit. But I know that you've been doing this sort of work for a while. But Chrissy, if you could start with just what is Ground Zero?
Well, Ground Zero is something I'm creating. I want to create a safe place for veterans to come to get help, to get rehabilitated. We have a number of programs that are, you know, help them get back into the community. I like to find people purpose. And I see a lot of veterans who are just sitting there alone and not doing anything, and I got plenty of stuff to do.
It sounded like it when we were chatting a few days ago. I think trying to understand the need, because to a lot of us, oh, there are a lot of veterans out there, or there are a lot of veterans in the Union Grove area. Tell me about what you're seeing in your community and the broader community.
Okay. So my outreach, we take in like emergency veterans that just show up on your door. They have no place to go, nothing to eat. A lot of the places that are government run, they got to be on a waiting list to get into a facility or a program, where at Ground Zero, they just come right in. And we sit down and we talk with them. I get to learn about them, and then I can place them in one of the programs that fit them, because each program is different.
And we will talk a lot more about the individual programs that you offer, but I guess it's kind of interesting to me that, are these veterans of all ages? Are they coming?
All ages, all different situations. Some, you know, they got into a car accident, they lost everything. Some divorce, fire, just drug, alcohol. My goal is to get them back acclimated to society before they feel unwanted. And then, because when they feel unwanted, they start drinking, doing drugs, and then you got a whole nother mess.
For sure. So how long have you been doing this sort of work? And I'm talking even before perhaps you became a formal nonprofit.
With veterans, I started in 2019. I met an Army Ranger from the VA hospital, and he was at the domiciliary, and he was getting help. There was a art room in there, and it changed his life. And he says he's seen how it changed other veterans' life. You know, or veterans that were, they wouldn't talk or anything, or, you know, it brought out the best in them. But once he left the program, you can't go back. And he really wanted to get that started, and I was, you know, so we started an art room. And together, and that's how we started.
And that's in Union Grove at the time. And I know all you have to do is say 2019, and we know what came next, 2020.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that that kind of slowed down the start of your efforts.
Yeah, so once we started the art room, COVID hit, and nobody could go anywhere, nobody could do anything. We had the kilns all set up. We had the whole art room. It was beautiful, and COVID just put a kibosh to it.
Understandable. And I know we talked, you're looking at hoping to get some of that started again. But let's talk about some of the programs and the properties that are you deeded some of these properties, or how does that work?
Well, our first property was the barn. And we picked a 100-year-old cow barn that was run down that needed to be fixed up. We made an agreement with the landlord, if we fix it up, can we use the property? So that was our first building. And what we do there, we do recycling. We work on our cars there. They have bonfires, and they cook out there. And it's just a nice hangout place. And they can. We still need a roof on the building, but that's a whole nother thing. But that property is free of use. Our second one, the store, we do rent from a very nice landlord who is very understanding, and that has our thrift store, which supports our mission, and our food pantry.
And is that in Union Grove in
downtown?
That's
also in Union Grove. And then the third one, they're all like a mile and a half from each other.
Okay, that's great.
Third one is the farm, where we're going to be doing a community garden where the community can come in, help grow vegetables for the food pantry.
Oh, so then it feeds right back into your other program of a food pantry.
So we're getting the community involved. Also, we're going to have raised beds, individual beds for vets to come out and have their own little garden.
You were talking about the barn, and maybe we can start with that in greater detail. What I'm hearing you say is that veterans who perhaps either have some mental health issues or just feel isolated, challenged, maybe PTSD, they feel safe coming to your location?
Once they meet me and they meet the volunteers, they meet the other veterans, it's a whole different program, we don't judge, we don't, you know, we just want to find them purpose and want them to kind of join the family and not be alone.
Any guesstimates on how many people you directly work with?
Oh, boy. I think since the start, I've dealt with almost 300.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and it's all different reasons. Some need a therapy dog, some need a car, some need a full move-in. Whatever they need. They come in, they fill out a simple piece of paper and write down what they need, and we get it done.
And I know you don't just have a magic wand to just get it done, so how do you go about that? They need some place to live. What are some of the immediate options?
The immediate options is staying at the farm. I do not like them to go to the homeless shelter. So they come to the farm, and then I have a lot of resources that I'm hooked up with. And they have a lot of different programs, and I can get them into some of their programs.
When you say resources, is it perhaps through veterans organizations, other veterans organizations?
It's everything, through friendships, through just people you meet off the street.
Support for WGTD comes from the Racine Theater Guild, presenting Always a Bridesmaid, a comedy about four friends who are perpetual bridesmaids on a perpetual marriage go-round, March 28th through April 13th. Tickets at racinetheater.org.
From Wisconsin Public Radio.
His real name was Andres, but we mostly called him Bimbo because he was brown and chubby and looked like the mascot bear of a brand of cookies. It's normal for people to report the death of a parent, old age, cancer, heart attack, whatever. Old people die and we expect it, accept it even. It's normal. Murder is different. Murder is a monster that chews up whatever expectations you had regarding death and spits them in your face. Murder is an attack on someone's life, yes, but also an attack on those left behind.
If you haven't read any of Gabino Iglesias' novels, what are you waiting for? That's easy for me to say. I only read his two latest a few months ago. They are both amazing. Gabino won the Shirley Jackson and the Bram Stoker Awards for his novel, The Devil Takes You Home, in 2022. Gabino's follow-up is called House of Bone and Rain. It's a beautifully written book inspired by a very sad real-life experience. It's also a coming-of-age story.
Professionals who have worked with veterans or at least have a passion for a variety of these programs you offer.
I know. Thank goodness, because doing some of the paperwork and getting, like, the board set up, getting the, I don't know, Dr. Dan calls it the fishbone thing, you know, it's just everything on paper.
Yes.
Because right now everything is just in my head.
Yeah. And it's nice to have a board who can take all of that passion and turn it into, I guess, structure.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And how are you funding all of this at this point? Because you've got these properties, and I know you're talking about horses.
Yep, I have a horse, but, you know, if you rent the barn, it's more money.
Yep.
I started it up with my 401k, and when I got the farm, I took the last of my 401k to secure that property.
Oh, boy. Okay, so it's very much of a personal project.
It is. I don't want it to be. But I'm not good at marketing. I'm not good at asking for money, asking for help. You know, people kind of have to, you know, say, Chrissy, here.
And you're starting to get some of that help.
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
Share with me a couple of examples of how people have been learning about what you're doing and kind of stepping up.
Just by word of mouth, and you just run into people, and it's just, you just never know. You wake up every day, it's like, who am I going to run into? Who am I going to meet? You know, what kind of day is it going to be? Who are we going to help? And it's just exciting every day. You just get up because you just never know who you're going to meet. And lately I've been meeting some really, you know, intelligent people that know how to put structure into the organization.
How large is your board? I know some of them are probably on the board and some of your resources are not.
We just started the board. We had a board, but, you know, the treasurer had a stroke and the other one had bad health, so it was all the way down to just me.
Yeah.
So I got my girlfriend from 14 years old. We were friends. And she's a computer geek.
Ah.
So she joined in, and then we met Bob, the bus driver. He just showed up one day wanting to volunteer, and he turned out phenomenal, so he's on the board. And then we have Carol, who came to us through the CIR program.
I don't know what that is.
That's a program for 55 and older.
Ah.
They do paid training. So they'll pay people to come to nonprofits and train.
Yes.
Which is great.
It sure is.
So that's going to be our board.
And then you have, as you say, Dr. Dan?
Dr. Dan, I would love for him to be on the board, but he is a very busy man. And he is something else.
And he is a doctor of mental health.
He's going to bring that whole program and kind of join it up with us so we can get veterans help immediately and not have to wait weeks or years or, you know, because right now he says the waiting list is like a year to see a doctor like him.
And that's kind of insane because most people cannot wait that long to get the kind of services they need.
And he's more personal. He's not about medicine. He's about neural brain. I mean, I can't even explain it. It's just, he's unbelievable. And he's a good addition. I mean, a great addition.
And does he talk with the veterans in an informal way to try to help them, or is he providing you more information about how you can work with the veterans?
No, he joins right in. I mean, if he's there in a meeting and someone needs something, I mean, he just does his thing, and it's amazing. I'm excited about, you know, a lot of his stuff that he's bringing to the table.
It sounds, maybe I'm wrong, that the outreach store is one of the longer, one of your services that has been around the longest, perhaps?
Yes.
Tell me, I know you mentioned food pantry, thrift store. Can you describe that a little bit more?
Okay. Well, the thrift store, I have two ladies that just came to me. They do estate sales.
Ah.
So they've been coming once a week for 8 hours, and they're revamping the whole store. I'm not good at retail. You know, I just set it up.
Yeah, sure.
But now they're making it look like an actual reset. You know, they're doing a phenomenal job.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're handling the donations that are coming in. They're doing a wonderful job.
That's super. And then food pantry, right?
Food pantry, I have a lady on that, but she just met a boyfriend, and she's moving away.
Oh.
So if anybody wants to come help out in the food pantry.
Yeah, especially if they have some experience in volunteering at one, they might be able to give you some really good support in that area.
Yeah, we do different drives. Like we did Pack the Pickup and with Gordy Boucher, Fill the Bus with the high school kids.
Oh, cool.
So we try to, you know, get fundraisers because that stuff's expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do not only food, we do toiletries, cleaners, everything to start up when you move in the house, like baggies and brooms and garbage cans and stuff like that.
So it sounds like you also do some of that transitional of perhaps somebody was homeless or they lost their home and they're moving into a smaller place. Is that part of your, I guess, in your bag of tools?
Well, one of our big things is the New Start program. And that's veterans that we work with. They come from Fairchild, which is a homeless center for vets. Tiny mm-hmm. Homes, they're a homeless center for vets. Bethany Houses. And when they graduate the program and move out, they don't have anything. So that's where we step in. And we provide everything, all the way down to pictures on the wall, food in the fridge. When we're done with them, they don't need anything.
Wow, that's fabulous. It's so hard for me to even, I talk to some organizations that have been around forever, and you are basically a startup, a fairly new entity, yet it seems like you really have people who, may I say, drop out of the sky and are there to assist you.
Yeah, you never know, and we're growing, and the bad thing is we can't pay. We're all volunteers.
Yes.
I mean, I'm the president, and I don't even get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So you know people are there because they want to be there. Yeah, it would be nice to pay them. You know, I would like to get a check too. But at this point, we can offer everything but money. We can offer food, shelter, companion, mental health, physical, everything.
And I know you're looking for even more. If somebody wanted to get a hold of you when they're listening to this and feel like they have something that they can offer you, what's the best way of reaching out to you? You said you have a Facebook page?
Ground Zero Veteran Outreach Facebook page. I do most of the posting, so you can kind of follow. And I'm not really good at keeping up with that, so I could use a Facebook person.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like you could use a lot of help. It's so busy.
But yeah, I post all the stuff when we move people or when we do certain events or help people, and you know, it's a really good way to learn more about us is the Facebook page.
And if they wanted to call and offer something that they have or their time, should they call you personally? Or
yeah, they can call me personally, 262-331-4857. That's my direct line, and yeah, I will, any kind of help, if you want to help mentally, physically, or financially, we're all about that.
And you are a 501c3, so just want to remind our listeners of that. We have been talking with Christine Luxem, who is the president and the founder of Ground Zero Veterans Outreach. And in this last minute of time, can you tell me what got you started with this? I mean, you kind of mentioned a long time ago.
It's a curse that I got from my mom.
Ah.
And I just love helping people, and I love fixing problems. I like getting people purpose and just making changes and making a difference.
Well, I wish you the best of luck. Again, we've been talking with Christine Luxem from Ground Zero Veterans Outreach, Inc., and is located in Union Grove. And my guests who are joining us now are from the Kenosha Human Development Services Organization. And we're going to be talking with Janine Field, who is the Executive Director, and Lisa Hain, who is the Associate Director. And I'm looking forward to hearing more about your programs, because I will be honest, I've been driving by that sign for how many years now since you've moved over to 52nd, and I just kind of assume that's the county, and I know that it's not. So maybe we can begin with just talking about what you offer the community, and then we'll get into how you're really, integrated in some of the other county services.
Well, one, thank you so much for having us today, Jane. We really appreciate the opportunity to talk about KHDS, or Kenosha Human Development Services. We are one of the best-kept secrets in town, although we are one of also the largest county contractors for human services. And so lots of folks know who we are by one or two programs, but they don't understand that we actually run 39 programs in total.
Which is amazing.
Yes, thank you. It's very hard work, and we really work with anybody who has issues day-to-day, developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities, mental health, homeless and housing. We really run the gamut of human services as a whole.
The earlier part of the program, we were talking with a fairly new veterans organization, Veterans Outreach, Ground Zero out of Union Grove, and it's kind of a small part of what you folks serve, and I think it's just amazing the breadth of services that you provide to everybody in Kenosha County. The eligibility is pretty wide open.
Somewhat, yeah. We are a Kenosha County-based program, although we do serve other counties from time to time, depending upon the program. But our biggest funder certainly is Kenosha County. And like I said, most people know us by one program. Oftentimes, that's crisis intervention, our mental health programs.
Sure.
Because when something is going on in the community and somebody needs assistance, officers call us all the time, the community calls us. And so anytime there's any sort of a mental health emergency, our crisis unit is on site to help manage situations that way.
And I think to help our listeners better understand the scope, the two things that hit me would be, if you can give us the number of people that you might serve in a year, and I'm sure you have to do that sort of reporting, and how they are referred to you on some of these programs. You just mentioned a couple of those, but
certainly, the number of people that we serve is kind of a moving target, but I can give you some numbers. Right now, in our crisis intervention program, we generally will take about 32,000 calls a year.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just in one program. And so from there, we then do follow-ups, and then we do other programming with folks. Sometimes it's crisis case management. Sometimes it's working with them in the court system. In our community support program, we serve 100 people. Throughout the course of the year, we'll serve 120 or so. In our care center, which is a stabilization program for folks with mental health or substance abuse, we will generally serve about 550 in a year.
Wow. And I know when you say you're serving them, it's not like, hi, how are you, for 1 hour, and then that's it. It's an ongoing relationship, I would imagine.
It is. In many of our programs, we do really person-to-person-centered case management services, particularly in our housing programs. Lisa, would you like to talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, so we have a variety of programs to help people end their homelessness. We have several outreach programs that help people living on the streets to find shelter and connect to needed resources. We provide access to our HUD homeless programs that provide case management and subsidized housing in scattered sites throughout the Kenosha community. So at any point in time, we are subsidizing 80 units of housing, and we're currently serving 139 people, which includes 90 adults and 49 children and 20 families. So
that seems pretty amazing. And you hear about some of the shelters, but this is different. You're really trying to find permanent, I don't want to use that word, but more than temporary housing, more than a month or two.
Yes, absolutely. That is the goal. Most of our programs are for up to 2 years. We do have one permanent housing project that is specifically for people who are living with a disability and meet the definition of chronic homelessness.
Okay. All right. I know when we were talking before taping the interview, I wanted to use your slogan of 50 years of meeting people where they are, and I kind of came at this a little bit backwards. But why don't we return to that slogan? Because congratulations,
you've been
in the community for 50 years. There's a kind of a sad side to that, is that people have been needing your services for 50 years, but you've been there for them.
Correct. We started in 1974 as an agency to help children. What community leaders found was that children who needed placement outside of their homes because of things happening inside their homes or perhaps delinquencies had nowhere to go, and so they were being shipped out into other communities. And so a group of citizens started a project called Kenosha Area Group Homes, with a shelter and two group homes, boys and girls. And from there, we've just grown into this conglomerate of programs. Like I said at the beginning, we have 39 currently. We still run the crisis program, which started in 1974. In fact, we have been answering our phone 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, since December of 1974. Always with a live person, never with a recording.
Wow. Yeah.
That's our crisis number, so that's this 262-657-7188 number. You can call anytime, and a live person will always pick up the phone.
And what constitutes a crisis?
That's a good question, because it's person to person. What's a crisis for you may not be for me. Generally, we define it as somebody who's really struggling in the moment to ensure their safety. So that could be somebody who struggles with severe and persistent mental illness and something's going on where they no longer feel safe, and like they've stopped taking medication and they're symptomatic, or their family feels as if they need assistance, and so they'll call crisis to help get some of that immediate relief. Or it's somebody who's just struggling in the moment to ensure their own physical safety because they might have some suicidal ideation. And they can talk it through with a crisis worker. We'll do triage on the phone. But if you need us with you, we do have mobile crisis counselors who will go out to any place you ask us to go. So we'll meet people at their homes, in the emergency room, at the park. It's amazing the places we've done crisis contacts at.
That actually does make sense.
Yeah.
How many people do you have working for your organization? Is it some people are contracted with you, or do you have full-time employees of your organization, or all of the above?
At the moment, we have 170 employees total in all of our 39 programs. So some programs are one person, and some programs are 40 people. And so depending upon what the needs are, you know, what the community needs are, is how we decide to staff it. Most of our programs are funded through the county, and they're very specific about what we can hire for. The federal programs give us just so much money we can use to hire staff. But everyone has some sort of job. We have administrative staff, and then everybody else is out there serving people.
Which is exactly where you want them to be. From a funding standpoint, you mentioned county and federal. Do you have programs that come through the state, or do you have direct federal dollars, direct county dollars, and combinations thereof?
Yeah, combinations. We definitely have several direct federally funded programs. We have some pass-through money that comes from the state, and then some local dollars as well.
Correct. We're multi-funded on that level. Mm-hmm. We are pretty dependent upon government agencies right now. We're working really hard at trying to diversify our income a little better. As a nonprofit, you just never know what's coming up next, and so we're working real hard at figuring that out too.
And I was going to ask that, do you get private donations or corporate support? But at this point, it sounds like you're not, but you're starting to look in that direction.
Correct. For the first 50 years, we really didn't need to fundraise.
Right.
The way that Kenosha County designed itself in their human services, they contracted for all of their outside services in children's services and in adult mental health and disabilities. And so we just always had worked on contracts from the county, and then we started building the homelessness programs and started getting into federal dollars. And what we have found now is that because the money just isn't meeting the rate of inflation at this point,
yes,
we are now doing a much better job. And we started last year, and we've done a pretty good job in the last couple of years. But we are starting to get more money from foundations, more money from our business partners, and, of course, private donations.
And that's difficult because that's a whole nother level of administration and effort. And it sounds like with only 170 employees over 39 programs, dealing with that many people and number of interactions with many of those people, I'm no math genius, but it's not adding up to me. That's a lot on your people.
It is, and we have a lot of folks who work at KHDS who've been there a long time. I've been with the agency for 35 years, Lisa.
25 years.
Wow.
And so we have a number of people. I have two women who are now well over 40 years as well, and that is because of our culture. The culture that we have at Kenosha Human Development Services is one that started by a gentleman by the name of Dick Kaufman back in the 70s. He and his wife started as our original teaching parents in our group home. And what Dick really did was he gave us a philosophical approach in working with everybody, working with the clients that we work with, the staff that we work with, our employees, and each other, that really sets a tone. And it allows our staff to have very predictable workplace. And so we get a lot of compliments on that approach. Would you mind if I just talked a little bit about that?
Please do. That's exactly what I'd love.
It's four real things that we think about as we solve problems. It's kind of think about it as concentric circles. First being, we assume everybody comes to the table with tons and tons of skills. But very, very rarely does one person coming into a place have all the skills you need to be successful. And so it's on us, it's on our caseworkers, it's on our managers to ensure that the folks that we're working with have the skills they need to do the work we're asking them to do and to do the community effort that we're asking people to do. So our clients, they need to work on some social skills. So for children in our Kaufman House, we talk about how do you accept no from an adult? How do you disagree appropriately from an adult? How do you follow instructions with an adult? How do you just get along? Because the more you get along as a child, the more the adults in your life are going to listen to what you have to say. Second, we assume everybody needs a sense of belonging. And that being a part of something outside of yourself is really important. So as an agency, as any organization, you really need to, one, be a part of the decision-making process. You need to contribute and feel appreciated for your contributions. And you need to have confidence in the fairness of that group. That's not to say that fairness equals sameness. And right. It's not to say that everything's fair, because it is not. But understanding that we're going to listen to your concern and try to figure out best we can to meet your need. Third, we assume that everybody's at a very different developmental stage in their life, both physically, emotionally, intellectually. So it's everybody, as you go through the developmental process, you pick up these things that you're able to do on your own as a child. When you watch your children grow, you watch your two-year-old move further away from their mom and be able to trust that you're still there when they can't see you. As people, we just continue to grow and grow. So when you think about your first job out of college or your first job out of high school, you think very differently than you do 30 years later. And so as we're working with people, we have to take out this, where are you on that scale? And we have to treat you accordingly. And again, continue to keep that in the back of our mind. How are you going to handle information? How are you going to manage stress? When you get stressed, how are you going to behave? Because we all tend to go back to what we know. And so fourth is your family. And your family is always going to be much more powerful and influential in your life and in your decision making than anybody else. Even if you don't want it to be, it still is. Because again, when you're under stress, you really go back to what you know. You go back to how you grew up and how you were parented. And so putting those assumptions together, those operational theories, it makes us a very predictable place to work. It gives our clients a very predictable way to know how we're going to react to things. When you work with children, they will test your limits. And we're always going to respond the same. And that it really, it forces them to look at, okay, my behavior is not working here. I got to change how I behave to get what I need. Acting out is not going to get me what I need. So what other approach can I? And so we give them other approaches. When you have a problem with a peer, sitting down with that person quietly and saying, you know, I don't like how you treat me, in a voice tone in which people are going to hear you. That's a really important skill for kids to have, particularly teenagers. And so we do that with everybody. That's how we operate, from the skills out.
That does not sound easy to do, to get everybody on that same page, especially since you are working with 170 people who are at different points in their careers and are bringing their own baggage into the workplace. In between getting people out and dealing with their caseload, how do you train for that?
We have a 30-hour pre-service training that folks have to go through. We then have a systemic approach to what we call consultation, so that we have people in supervision who every employee that we work with has a service delivery plan, where our consultant, their manager, is responsible to teach them these skills. You're responsible to, again, assess what skill level they're at, and then give them feedback about what they're doing really well, and then what are the things they can improve on. And it's incremental growth. It takes a good year and a half, to feel at all comfortable with the model that we're using. Been doing it as long as I have. I do it in my sleep. Every conversation I have is model-oriented, and it just is who I am. But coming straight into this, you really have to work hard at consultation to help folks understand this is how we want you to think about problems.
This has been fascinating to hear, and I know some may say, well, why are you talking about all this HR-related type stuff? But it really, like you say, it's how you deal, you work with your clients as well, and how you present yourself and how you can be a successful agency. I want to depart from that just a tad and address the housing situation you mentioned. All I hear when I'm doing interviews or just talking to anybody is the housing shortage, the housing shortage. Well, I would imagine it's even more difficult to try to place folks who have more of a challenging background into housing, to find that housing, to find landlords who are providing quality housing for them. How do you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, gosh, a decade ago it was really easy, right? We had landlords calling us.
Yeah.
And we had these great relationships and lots of availability of units. And boy, do I wish it was still like that, but it's not. And so we still manage to work with landlords and build those relationships with landlords that are willing to rent from our programs. And I think what is helpful is that we do provide that case management piece, right? We provide that support. We'll do mediation. We'll help people problem solve situations with neighbors or any issue that they might be having in the unit. So I think some landlords really appreciate that. That guaranteed money, right, that guaranteed rent, that's always helpful when we're trying to rent units. And so that ongoing communication and that support that we provide people in our programs goes a long way.
And the other, in kind of the limited time that we have left, the other aspect of what the services you provide deals with mental health. And I know that that's also an area I have heard for years that Kenosha is deficient in providing mental health services. Is that still the case? Is that improving? Yes, no, maybe?
Well, it's really interesting. It really depends on how you look at it. Who are you and what do you need? If you're insured in Kenosha, you really do find difficulty with providers finding therapists, finding psychiatrists who will take your insurance. So there are challenges for people who, you know, that class of folks who have insurance, have employee-sponsored insurance, do find it difficult to find providers. If you have Medicaid and Medicare, there's a lot more services available to you if you have real significant deficits. And that's, I think, the difference that people talk about. There's not enough mental health care. There is if you have a severe and persistent mental illness and you have Medicaid and Medicare, there are lots of very ancillary programs for you. But if you're somebody who has employer insurance, it is a little more. There's no one to case manage your son who has a severe persistent mental illness if you have insurance through your employer. They don't do that. And because they're a child, they may not qualify for special services. And so, yes, there is an issue. It kind of depends on what kind of coverage you have at this point.
And that part is pretty interesting because you would think it'd be reversed, that people with insurance would have better access rather than less access. Unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but would you mind telling us the crisis line, the phone number again, because I think that's important.
Absolutely. So anybody can call our crisis line, area code 262-657-7188, 24 hours a day. We also have a resource center for non-emergency care. You can call Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, 262-764-8555.
And we'll try to put those numbers into our when we have the little blurb on our website as well for the program, so people can run over and look at our website for that. Thank you both for joining me today. We've been talking with Janine Field, who is the executive director, and Lisa Hain, who is the associate director of Kenosha Human Development Services. And I'm Jane Herring for Community Matters.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support comes from the Lake Geneva Symphony in concert on Saturday, April 5th at 7 p.m. at Badger High School with Mendelssohn's Fifth Symphony featuring the Young Artist Competition winner Aurelio Meyer, as well as a side-by-side performance with area high school musicians. Tickets at LakeGenevaOrchestra.org. I'm Gregory Berg, and my guest for Monday's morning show, Scott Coey, is going to be wearing two different hats. First, as an outstanding teacher at Bradford High School, where he has taken a number of students on fascinating trips to foreign countries. But we'll also speak to him as a member of the Racine Unified School Board, and we will talk about the referendum that is going to be confronting Racine voters on Tuesday, the 1st of April. Join us for Monday's morning show beginning just after 8.
Support for WGTD comes from the Kenosha County Aging and Disability Resource Center. Do you have an advanced directive? Trained staff are available to guide you through the paperwork. The service is free and confidential. Call 262-605-6646.
WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.